Intervju Radija Študent.
Lisboa 14. Pogovor z režiserjem Joaom Pedrom Placidom, režiserjem zmagovalnega filma Belonging. Potem, ko se je v nedeljo zvečer v prestižnem kinu São Jorge še enkrat zavrtel zmagoviti film Belonging, ki je prejel nagrado za najboljši portugalski celovečerec ter šolsko nagrado IADE, se je odvrtel 10. in hkrati tudi zadnji dan že 12. mednarodnega filmskega festivala Doc Lisboa. V 10 festivalskih dneh si je bilo moč ogledati raznolike filmske žanre, saj je festival odprt za poigravanja s formo in ne ostaja v strogih okvirih dokumentarnega filma. Že otvoritev sta zaznamovala dva močna, politično obarvana filma. Film o lanskoletni ukrajinski revoluciji Majdaji ukrajinskega režiserja Sergeja Lonica ter film o trenutni sirski realnosti Our Terrible Country, ki spremlja znanega sirskega intelektualca in pisatelja Yasina Hai Saleha na begu v izgnanstvo. Tako kot na vsakem festivalu so seveda za lažjo orientacijo filmi razporejeni v različne sekcije. Najbolj sveže filme, nastale v okviru študija na audiovizualnem, video in filmskem področju, so umestili v zelena leta. Med njimi si je največ pohval prislužil Apasažem, magisterski film mladega Bangladežana Sohela Rahmana, ki je dokumentiral stoično življenje dveh starejših gospa, Idaline in Brazide iz portugalske pokrajine Algarve. Filmi, ki se bodi si poigravajo z mejo med dokumentarnim in fikcijskim, bodi si temeljijo na arhivskem, autobiografskem ali dnevniškem beleženju, so bili umeščeni v sekcijo Novi pogledi. Znotraj tega razdelka se je med drugimi predstavila nemška video umetnica in doktorica filozofije Hita Steyer, ki je sicer znana po svojih esejističnih dokumentarnih videih. Njen video How Not To Be Seen, a fucking didactic educational.mov file je parodija na video oglase z navodili za to ali ono stvar. Kako se skrčiti na velikost manjšo od piksla in s tem postati neviden v digitalni dobi, smo sicer lahko izvedeli že lani v Berlinskem muzeju moderne umetnosti, kot tudi na Beneškem bienalu. Poleg tekmovalnih sekcij si posebno omembo zaslužita še sekcija Neorealizem in Novi realizem ter sekcija posvečena retrospektivi filmov Johana van der Keukena. Pomemben del festivala so tudi vsakoletni javni pitchingi, kjer režiserji iz vseh koncev Evrope in širše skupaj s svojimi producenti predstavijo nastajajoče projekte pred predstavniki uglednih evropskih in ameriških televizijskih in produkcijskih hiš. Dobro obiskan festival je minil v sproščenem vzdušju, k čemur so pripomogle tudi poletne temperature ter dobro organizirana večerna druženja tekom celega tedna. Edino namesto sponzorirane Absolut vodke bi si naslednjič želeli tiskano festivalsko knjižico v angleščini. Sledi pogovor z režiserjem Joaom Pedrom Placidom, ki nas je svojim dokumentarnim filmom Belonging več kot prepričal.
First, congratulations for your movie Belonging.
Thank you.
I would like to know, when did you get the idea for this movie? How did this idea arrive to you?
I got this idea probably 20 years ago, mm-hmm. because that's the land of my grandfathers and of my grandparents, and place where my mother was born. And about 22 years ago, I got my first camera. And I realized I would love to do a movie there. And 10 years ago, I tried to make a short film. But I had no money, I couldn't finish. It was on my summer holidays and it rained the whole time for exterior film. So I waited another couple of years till I had a friend of mine who's a film director, Laurence Ferreira Barbosa, and she was there with me, and she realized that I have a very close relationship with the people, and she told me, you have to do a movie here, and because I'm a director of photography, I don't have the aim of being a director or the need. And I asked her, well, will you help me too? And she said, yes, I will. And that's how the idea came real.
You got your first camera 20 years ago?
I was 13 years old.
And what was that camera?
It was a Sony CCD V800. It was a high 8 millimeters, had a very good quality in the exteriors, and I made a lot of things with it. I mean, when I was at school and you had to do some work together with your mates, I gave up from paper and printing and I did small, you know, videos with work. So
were you filming the first things in the same village where this film is taking place?
I'm from Lisbon. I'm based in Lisbon, but I was brought up from people from that village that moved to Lisbon when I was born, my grandparents. When I had a camera, I shoot, you know, everywhere, Lisbon, on the village, whatever. But of course, on holidays, I would always take the camera, I would shoot the holidays, the people. And for me, when I realized, when I looked to some documentaries on TV or reportage about the rural life, the country work, it got clear for me that it's not worth for me to do that again because that's already done. So I want to do something new, to do something different. But I couldn't really know how to do it or what to do new in a film way. That's why I probably needed to take so much time and to get the distance without being so emotionally involved just because I love that place, you know. It was not interesting for me to pass that on the movie. So I wanted to take a picture, but not get too involved or paternalist or whatsoever.
When I was watching the movie, I had to remind myself constantly that this is not a fiction and that this is happening in this time, not like 100 years ago. And I was very impressed how the characters in the movie seemed not aware of the camera at all.
Mm-hmm.
So how this relationship developed, what is behind this familiarity of these characters?
Okay, I spent there my summer holidays since I was born. And that was the place where I wanted to be and I like to be since I can remember. I love the people, I love the animals. Cows is my favorite animal since I can remember, you know, those type of cows. And I always admired very much these people by their choice of life because they could have immigrated like many did, but they decided to stay. And their politic of non-consumism is for me a reflex of a certain philosophy of empathy with earth, with the animals. And I'm someone divided between city center and the most rural life people can imagine, like this one. And so I always had a huge respect for this type of people. And when I started to travel abroad, I was always looking for this type of rural life. And that's why one day I became the third white man to be on a certain village in the Himalayas in India, because I'm always looking for this type of reality. And I can guarantee you that you can find this all around the world, and the people who have the less are the people who give the most, because that's how life is supposed to be there. You know, it's not about the money, it's about I need help today from you, and I will go and help you tomorrow.
What did they think when you said to them that you want to make a film?
I organized a short film many years ago in 1999. And I really involved everyone. And on that time, it was a short fiction film, historical film. And they were great. I mean, they really gave themselves, you know, just like, you know, I want to do it. So It was wonderful. They were there 200%. Unfortunately, the film couldn't be finished, but they saw the results and they were all very happy and also proud of seeing themselves in the screen, and also proud that there's someone who likes their reality, who loves their reality and respects it. Because in a way they feel very abandoned by the rest of the world, by the politicians, by the economy, by everything. And if you come and want to tell their truth, of course you have their sympathy and empathy.
Okay, the young boy, the main character, kind of, he's also amazing. I mean, his story, this is the real thing that was happening at the time, or how did you catch these moments when he's falling in love with this girl?
When I started to shoot, I realized that I lost one of the main gathering points. That was the bar, the cafe. There was a little cafe, a little mm-hmm. bar, since I can remember. And it just closed 4 months before I started to shoot. Mm-hmm. So I lost a point where to get stories and conflicts, and then I was just doing a chronic of what's going on, you know, mm-hmm. the seasons pass by. And I realized that the only drama, the only conflict that there is that Daniel really wants to have a girl. So I told him, we have to find you a girl. And I asked him, there are girls, there are any girls here around? And he said, oh yeah, there's one. I was just provoking the reality to happen once again. Hmm. But that's real. Everything that happened there, it's real. He suffered a lot. Hmm. Because all that is real.
Hmm. Yeah. The phone call was...
The phone call...
Reenacted?
Ask again?
The phone call, when he got the phone call and was rejected by the girl, was it reenacted or...
I would say he's speaking for real. I don't want to be 100% clear with you because I think if I will be very clear, and if somehow someone that is listening this will watch the movie, maybe we'll lose if I 100% clear about it. I mean, I could tell you exactly how I did it. I told him, I asked him, so do you know someone, or shall I do a casting on the high school 20 mm-hmm. kilometers from here? And he said, ah, no, I know one. And so I went there, I went to her house, I explained it about the project. After 1 or 2 weeks, she accepted. And then I was doing some rehearsals with him and her to realize what can be truth, what can be, what is looking real. Can he seduce her? Can she seduce him? How far can they go? What is working and what's not? So I decided that I want them to meet in the party, you know, in this party that will be the... and unfortunately, that shot is not, it's very fragile, that they are not good. But I lost the sound recorder 2 hours before, and I was desperate. I couldn't hear the sound. I couldn't control. It was a mess. Were it was you, very difficult.
And were you making the sound?
No, I was not making the sound, but you know... I could listen still, even if I'm not recording the sound. So then we did some more scenes till we get to the phone call, and it was clear that this type of girl can never live in this type of place and will never go to Daniel, you know? And so they made this phone call. What you see in the movie is the second take. But everything that he is asking her comes really from the bottom of his heart. He's really feeling it. And he was totally heartbroken after the shot was finished. And but she's just standing 20 meters away from him, behind the rock, just to the middle, just to the limit of the HF mic. We have a Lavoisier, so we had a soundtrack with her answer. And there was still in a moment on the editing room, we realized we don't need to listen to her, and it's much more strong if we just listen to him. So that was all set up, but that was totally real.
So you were a camera, right?
I'm a camera, yeah, director. And I had this director friend of mine was helping me transporting stuff from the camera and helping me with the direction and the sound guy. And sometimes we were four. Someone was helping us with you know, cooking for us or something like that.
I want to ask you, did you get, like, how did you finance the film? Or you want to say, want to tell how, what was the budget?
Yeah, I can tell you. Let's say, I don't know, 83, 84, 85. I can't tell for sure. For me, it was very clear that I don't want to do this film without a budget. Because I'm working in the film business. And I know how hard it is. It's very costly to go there, you know, to pay the travel costs, the food.
How far is it from Lisbon?
420 kilometers. And in fact, to go there and come back with a car, it's more expensive than buy an airplane from Lisbon to Paris, both ways. So I started to shoot the film with a budget of 54,000 euros. And it was clear that it wouldn't be enough. And when we were finishing the editing, the menu was almost finished, you know. And finally, we could get some funds from Switzerland. And about 30,000 euros that could give us a very good post-production process. I had critics that the sound is very good. But the direct sound is more than terrible. There was a lot of foleys. I went back there and I dubbed the people. I made the people say exactly what they said before, but I just needed good recorded. I had a wonderful sound editor, a good mixer, a very good color grader, colorist, and yeah, that's why it looks good, because we had the normal procedure of a film instead of doing it at home or on a small computer.
And how long was the, from the beginning of shooting till the end of post-production?
Give me a second, I tell you exactly. I started to shoot in December 2011. I finished shooting January 2013. And I finished post-production on May of 2014. So this makes 2 years and a half.
Anything you want to say for the end?
No, I just, yes, I... What I really wanted to show with this film, and one of my main aims, is that even people that have nothing to do with rurality, and that sometimes they, the rural world, sometimes it may seem dirty, unfriendly, brutal, but even if our city people, they have nothing to do with the rural world, they can feel the love these people have for what is surrounding them, and in that way they also start to feel or to love a little bit what is the rural, what the rural world is about.
Po lizbonskih kinematografih se je sprehajala Simona Jerala.
Intervju Radija Študent.